In years past, we've used the last episode of the month to discuss different entries of film franchises. We've done Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and Batman, all franchises we were more or less familiar with.
But this year, we're diving into a film franchise neither of us know. And today is the last episode of the month, so join us as we begin a year-long journey of discovery of everyone's favorite pulse-pounding car series. Today's episode is where it all began, 2001's The Fast and the Furious.
How Star Wars is it?
That's car sounds.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome to... I was about to say the Patreon. I gotta get focused. Welcome to the show. This is How Star Wars Is It.
But that's a good reminder that we do have a Patreon. Getting the add-in for that as soon as
possible.
Get the
add-in early.
But welcome to the free show. This is How Star Wars Is It. And not only is it free, it is the only podcast.
Right. Where are you going to get your podcast these days? From us. We're spoon-feeding ya.
Yeah.
I was like dripping things. Here's a spoon. Here's a spoon. Eat up. It's like little, I'm like feeding a sick child gruel, but it's podcasts.
Yeah.
That's what millennials are. Millennials are Oliver Twist.
Uh-huh.
And we podcasters are the big officious like.
More? Yeah.
Does Gen Z listen to podcasts? We have a couple of Gen Z listeners.
Yeah. If you're in the Generation Z, email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com and say yes. And that's
We're doing a census.
We just want a bunch of emails that say yes and that's it.
Yeah, I would love that. That would make me feel really good, actually. a lot of just confirmation, just like positive attention, being like, yes, yes, yes. That sounds nice.
But welcome to the podcast. My name's Mike. That's Josiah. And
we
are on a mission to compare anything.
It's not impossible.
No, it's a possible mission. By the way, we got to get back to Dead Reckoning because we never covered that.
I still haven't seen it.
But we're on a mission to review any and ultimately every topic on a scale of 1 to 10, but not of its quality. We're not talking about is Back to the Future good or are sandwiches bad? No, we want to know on a scale of 1 to 10 how Star Wars any given topic is. And this year, like we said in the intro, and like we said on Patreon a couple weeks ago, for those of you who subscribe, you may already know this information.
You may already know.
We are newcomers to the Fast and Furious franchise, and we are going to cover one every month on the last episode of the month this year. And by my calculation, there are 11 films in the franchise that started in 2001. So we'll either be able to take Christmas off, or we'll do something else in December, or
And you or said what? Newcomers, which reminds me, I got beef.
Yes, let's get into our beef. Now that we've established what the premise of the show is.
I got beef with Lori Lapkus and Nicole Byer, a.k.a. the newcomers.
Hey, who doesn't?
Who doesn't these days? They are famously
This
so
is a
dramatic
great take for us, the two white boys who have a podcast.
Mad at a woman and a black woman.
Yeah. Who are successful.
Who are both successful and funny.
Yeah.
And good at their jobs.
Yeah. And who we both like.
We like
their podcast.
And previously, I have been a huge fan of. Not to say I'm not anymore. I just don't listen to their podcast as much as I used to.
Right.
Or their various podcasts, projects, I should say. But anyway, I think I sent it to on Instagram. Like, they revealed that their new season of Newcomers, which is their show they do, where they basically watch through
franchises
that they had not experienced before.
And it started with Star Wars, I think.
With Star Wars, yes. And I think it started with Star Wars, but they've done a couple different seasons. And guess what they're doing this year?
They're doing listeners? Batman.
They're doing Batman, which is what we did last year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're coming to bite our style. They heard that How Star Wars Is It was covering Batman, and they said, well, we can't. We got to do that
That's
too
right.
now. Because we are nothing if not in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm serious when I say
that. Or rather, we are just accidentally always doing the same things that are the zeitgeist. Because doesn't zeitgeist yes. kind of imply that, like, people are talking about you?
Right, sorry.
People are talking yeah, about the same things we're talking about. They're just not talking about us.
We are not in the zeitgeist.
No.
We somehow
we are
have,
of the zeitgeist.
We are of it. We have a direct line to the zeitgeist yeah. that influences what we talk about.
Yes.
Because we're always talking about things that are very on topic and like, or like very on trend.
Right. That because we follow the trends and respond to them? Yes, sometimes.
Yes, sometimes.
Is it because there's no such thing as free will and everybody's probably thinking about Batman right now for one reason or another? That's also probably true.
Yeah.
All and the many intersecting threads of what's going on in the atmosphere.
And for us, what it really is about is, so we have our bingo rolling cage that picks our
topics. Oh, that's right,
because
every topic we do is random.
Right. It's all random. So we have our bingo rolling cage that picks our topics. We have a separate bingo rolling cage for what we're going to do at the end of the month every year.
Yes.
Right? And so first it was Star Wars, which that one was easy. And really lucky that Star Wars came up first on our Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
Because that also should have been random. And then it was Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Batman. Or no, we've done, how long have
well,
we done
so
this damn
Star
show?
Wars we did ad hoc for a while. And then we revisited them once a month.
Right.
And then we did Mission Impossible. And then there was a year we didn't do that gag.
Right. We kind of just like, we're free floating on the last week of the month. But we are doing Fast and the Furious now, which I have seen. So during 2020, when I was living with my parents, my dad and I watched the first two.
And that's around when I did too. That was the only time I've seen any of the movies, is the first two sometime in the past 3 years.
So we both had the same viewing experience with them, where we had the intention of going through the series.
So did I.
With, just like as a pandemic watch.
Yeah.
But we, for some reason, fell off of it. The first movie is so, like, I love the, I can't wait to see where this goes, is what I'm going to say.
Dude, can we just say right now, like, did you like it generally?
Yeah, I liked it. I remember liking it.
I loved it.
I liked it the first time I watched it. This time I watched it, I'm someone who doesn't like to rewatch movies.
Ah,
and so,
okay.
like, watching it again, I was like, well, I know what's happening.
Yeah.
I knew what was coming. But I think that, like, in general, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's like pretty good. I think
Charlie
there's like things that show it's from 2001.
Oh, absolutely. Charlie was playing her game on her Switch the whole time, which is Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. She's still playing it. She's logged a million hours in that game. For the listeners who know about that game, her goal, she says, she's not going to stop playing until she can kill Ganon in one hit. That's her goal. Which, if you know that game, you know is like probably impossible, but she might pull it off. I don't
know. That's an incredible self-imposed goal.
Yeah. She's like, I can't stop playing until I can beat the boss in one hit.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny. But anyway, she was playing that game the whole time. So then afterwards, she was like, was that movie kind of bad? Did it suck? And I was like, no, you weren't even watching it. And she was like, would I have liked it more if I was actually watching and knew what the characters were doing? And I was like, maybe.
Now, I don't know that it was good per se either, but I did really enjoy it. I had this thought, which is a stupid thing to think in the year of our Lord 2024, but like 3/4 of the way through, I was like, man, I'm having fun. I really wish there were like 10 more of these.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you watch, like, people said that about, like, Knives Out. Like, if all Rian Johnson does from here on out is keep making detective movies with I almost said Daniel Radcliffe, Daniel Craig, like, essentially,
yes.
like Columbo, or in the case of more Columbo-y, Poker Face with Natasha Lyonne, if he just keeps swapping back and forth making those detective stories until he's like 100, I'll be thrilled. And that's sort of how
need.
I feel about these, having really only seen this first one. I know I have seen the second one too, but it's now been a while and I kind of forget what happened, so.
Well, right out the gate, I want to say, it's interesting, right? Because the Well, I always love going to Rotten Tomatoes. You know I do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these numbers mean nothing and reviews kind of, don't mean anything. But the audience score and the critic score for this are telling.
Mm.
In that, what do you think the critic score is? Give me a guess.
I think it's probably low. I think it's probably like 50.
You're very close. 54.
Okay.
So not the worst movie ever. Not the worst in the franchise, for sure.
Because isn't audience not even that high? Like 70, maybe?
74 for the audience, okay. Yeah. So there is a disconnect between the critics and the audience, even right out the gate from this first one.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is later on in the franchise, like, they start getting, like, good.
Right.
Where, like, a couple of them are actually good. Like, I think they had a run of, in later on in the franchise... of being like, oh, that was a really good action movie.
Right, and was like, it even sort of like 4, 5, 6, 7 or something like that?
Yeah, just looking at the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, starting with 5 through like 7 and kind of 8.
Okay.
Are the consensus is like, that was good. And some of them were like, that was really good. And
yeah.
Most of them are just like, in general, that was good.
I'm just like so pumped that we're like finally doing this. Like,
I know. It's been a long time coming.
I've wanted to be part of this conversation for a while. And yeah. I just haven't like made it happen.
The thing I know, because like while we were watching Chile, was like, don't these become like superhero movies?
Yes, that is what I've heard.
Yeah. They become like superhero car movies. And we've all seen like clips from them and stuff of like them launching cars off of buildings
right.
and everything. But in this movie, it's so small.
Yes, it is like a Los Angeles street racing movie. And there's like sort of train robbery style like
yeah.
heists by way
yes.
of fast cars. But like it's a movie about yeah. people whose like primary crime they're committing is driving too fast on a road.
Yes. And they're like, and the cops hate them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, this movie feels so 2001.
Oh, yeah,
like,
oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Like the MTV, like I feel like
yes.
either Pimp My Ride was just coincident with this or it started like as a direct result of this
yeah.
movie being a hit.
Oh, yeah, Exhibit might as well be in this movie.
Yeah, right, because Ja Rule is. Like,
yes, John.
And they both have that kind of gravelly performance
yeah.
voice.
So I didn't take very many notes because I was like, I've seen this before and also I just
have
a couple of things to say. But one of my notes is about how it does, it's like a weird 2001 vibe to it where everyone is like dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And grimy. Like everyone looks kind of grimy.
Yes.
And
it reminds me a little of what we talked about when we watched The Italian Job.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what you had in your head prior to seeing it was more Ocean's 11, like, polished, mm-hmm. like, charmers,
yes.
but it was kind of grungier.
Yes. Everyone in this is, like, sweaty.
Yes.
Like, it's very, like, earthy and, like...
Covered in oil
and nasty, and, like, it's very grounded in a way. Even though the premise is kind of silly, because it's like, oh, they're doing heists on semi-trucks to steal DVD players.
Right.
But,
and-
like...
The guy that you're supposed to kind of come around to liking, despite the fact that he's who the undercover guy is after, is actually the guy doing the crimes.
I know.
At one point, they're like, oh, no, it's not him. And he has to convince the feds to, like, get off his back. But then it's like, oh, it is him. But he has to try to, like, save him from himself.
Yeah. It's kind of, like, beautiful.
Yeah, it's like... The arc of the protagonist of this movie is like mm-hmm. Turning his back on law enforcement.
Yeah. Honestly, Paul Walker, Brian, whatever his last name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, O'Connor.
Movie, O'Connor said ACAB, baby.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, what do I care more about? Some fucking government tool telling me to get this guy who's only stealing DVD players.
Right.
Or do I care about this new brother that I have and his hot sister who I'm dating?
Yeah.
And that's an easy choice. If I was a cop, first off, I would not be a cop.
Right.
But if I was a cop and I was undercover,
yeah.
I would immediately
I'm doing this now. All I need is a reason to do a different job.
give me one reason to leave.
Oh, and you're giving me two? The coolest
yeah.
best friend and the hottest girlfriend.
Yeah, the hottest girlfriend and the best, coolest best friend in the world who all he cares about is family And the only reason he hit that guy with a wrench so much is because he accidentally killed his dad.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give him a pass on that one. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to hit someone in the face with a wrench a bunch if they actually accidentally kill your dad.
It is funny that Paul Walker learns that he, like, brutalized a guy with a wrench by way of the feds, and then, like, the very next scene is him learning from Toretto that, like,
yeah,
I brutalized a guy with a wrench, and this is why. Like,
Dom's like, I know you heard the story from the feds. Let me tell you the real story.
Yeah, like, it's like they're all watching the movie.
Yeah,
which is very Star Wars.
Very Star
Wars.
And
they all know how to operate spaceships, basically, which is also very Star Wars.
I think there's so many. So some of these characters don't make it into the rest of the franchise.
Right.
And then even the second movie is very different and has different characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And is in, like, Miami.
Right.
So they don't really, like, lock in the formula until, I want to say, like, 4 and 5 is where they're able to start being, like,
which, you know, this, it's not how it's how Star Wars is, but you know what else this franchise may as well be? How Mission Impossible is it?
Yes, totally.
It, like, starts as a
inconsistent,
like, mid-90s spy espionage thriller. It takes a weird diversion in the early 2000s into, like, kooky, like, macho actionville and family in the third, and then after that they're like, he's a superhero.
Right, he's superhero. He's, yeah. Superhero, and it's the best action movie you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Every time it comes out, it's the best action movie you've ever seen.
Yeah.
The
action in this was good.
Yeah, it's fun.
I wrote this down. We're jumping all around, but the whole truck set piece toward the end was crazy. It was exciting.
Very compelling.
Yeah.
And, like, very exciting. The other thing I wrote down, but first off, I want to bring attention to this again. We are once again covering a movie with Buffalo Bill in it.
That's right.
Which brings our
and
in the last
problematic
year,
turn of the millennium sensibilities, like hyper macho masculinity, homophobic slurs.
Yes, they do say some homophobic slurs in this one.
The just kind of, like, God, remember, have you seen this TikTok trend recently that it's like, I can't remember what the song is, but it's like, man, to have been a teenager when this song came out, and then everybody like starts, like, duetting it with, like, all the bad shit that happened then.
Yes, totally. I haven't seen that, but that is funny and should be noted.
Like,
so Ted Levine is in this.
Yeah.
Which should be noted. And I have a little diversion I want to take.
We're going to have to figure out a movie for next week that has him in it, just so that we can do, like, a trilogy.
Yeah, just, like, keep it very consistent. Let's just do Monk.
Oh, that's right. He's in Monk. So I've been told I need to watch Monk, and not just by you and Andy last week. It would have to be something from 2003, because we had 99 last week and 2001 this week, and I'm following the Only Connect style sequence.
Yes. I want to take a slight diversion, because, like, I have beef with one of the, like, throwaway lines in this movie.
Please.
As someone who works at a cafe, I have intimate knowledge about this. So whenever Ted Levine is like, so this is, I think, right after it's revealed to the viewer that Brian is a undercover cop.
Which happens late.
Yes, it's
that
about,
like
30 minutes
through,
in.
Or, the like Amazon little blurb that describes the movie or whatever was like, an undercover policeman has to decide whether or not to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you blew it.
Yeah, you
it's
blew
a cool
it's,
reveal.
It's kind of a twist.
Yeah.
You don't know it until they reveal it, which is like a solid 30, 40, maybe 45 minutes
in. And it's interesting.
It is interesting. It creates a cool dynamic.
Yeah.
But so they reveal it. So Ted Levine is like his boss, like sergeant, whatever. And then they're the FBI and they're dealing with local PD dealing with the FBI or vice versa. I can't remember. But so anyway, they're in there. And then like Ted Levine goes like, go get us 4 iced cappuccinos.
Dude, I wrote that down too. Iced cappuccinos.
It's time to be real.
Oh, hi, be real.
I love when be real catches this podcasting. So, okay, as someone who works at the cafe, I am not a barista.
And sorry, decaf iced cappuccinos.
Yes, decaf iced cappuccinos.
I was like, ew, why don't you just drink rainwater?
So I work at a cafe on the weekend sometimes, and I'm not a barista, but I can make a bad latte.
Uh-huh.
And I know like what the drinks entail. So like Mike, I have some questions for you.
Yeah.
What is in a latte? Like, what is a latte?
So, a latte is espresso and milk. Traditionally, steamed milk And in the steaming process, that milk gets a little bit creamy, a little bit foamy. But there's like a... The steaming wand aerates the milk in addition to heating it up.
Yes.
And the aeration causes the bubbles and the foam. So the longer you aerate it, or the more you aerate it, the more foam you get, which is when you start crossing over into cappuccino territory.
You are way ahead of me, man. Yeah, so yeah, a latte is espresso with steamed milk
with milk.
A little bit of foam.
So like an iced latte is possible. Because
latte,
the foam is not the hero
this
of a
is
latte.
What I, this is what I'm saying.
Yes,
an iced latte is just espresso and milk.
Yes, and ice cubes.
Because you don't go to the trouble of steaming the milk and then pouring it over ice.
Right.
That would just melt the ice and that would not taste. It would curdle probably too.
Because the latte is the mixture.
Yes.
That's what you're going to a latte for.
Right. So a cappuccino, and this is very important to Fast and the Furious and the mythos of this movie.
Yeah.
A cappuccino is espresso with mostly foamed milk, right? It's more foam, less regular milk.
Yeah.
An iced cappuccino is not a thing.
No.
Because that's just an iced latte.
You know,
once
what
again,
I think
it's just
this...
taking espresso and pouring milk over ice. That's all it is.
I think this is a byproduct of the year 2001 when like coffee house / Starbucks culture was like starting to take.
It was booming.
But it wasn't like, you know, that was when every stand-up was like, you got a tall and then you got a grande. You
Right. There's a Starbucks in every corner.
Yes. Like, and nobody who went to any of those places knew what the fuck they were ordering.
No. Everyone was just like, I don't know, iced cappuccino.
Yeah. So, like, it does feel like that.
Yeah. It was very, I just like, it was just throwaway line, but it stuck with me because I was like,
I wrote it down.
Because I've had customers come in and order an iced cappuccino, which when we make that, we kind of tell them, we go, okay, well, that's just espresso and milk. Is that okay? And they go, oh, yeah, okay, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because it's like, people don't, that's the thing, even nowadays, people don't know what coffee drinks are and they don't know what they want.
You want an iced latte. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They'll walk in and they'll be like, oh, I don't know what I want. And they'll look at the menu and they're like, I don't know, cafe au lait. And it's like, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Or are you just saying it because it has a couple cool looking words in it?
Right, right.
Because if you don't know what it is, don't order it. Get something you want.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, get something that you know what it is.
Yeah. Or ask, what is a cafe au lait?
Right. You can ask us and we will tell you. Which I think is just coffee and steamed milk and not espresso and steamed milk.
This is when we were teens. Like, we were probably just driving and he worked at Panera. And so, you know, you're making your first espresso drinks.
Right.
In terms of, you know, like, you are literally just old enough to have a job in the first place.
Right.
So, like, this is probably the 20th latte he's ever made, you know? And someone asked something like a latte, whatever. And he said, would you like skim or whole milk? And the person said, could I do like half and half? Now, this person meant half skim, half whole milk.
Right.
That's a kind of ridiculous request, but maybe they wanted like 2% and that just wasn't something that they had at Panera. Fine. That is not how he understood it, because the other thing that they had for pouring into coffee was a carton called half and half.
Yes.
And so he like steamed half and half creamer or you know, maybe it was an iced whatever and poured it in, gave it to her, whatever. He was telling me this story, though, like, that week, because we hung out all the time, and he was telling me, yeah, this lady ordered a latte, and I asked if she wanted skim or whole milk, and she said half and half, and so I was like, that's weird, okay, and I made it, and I was like, well, did she mean, like, half and half, like, half skim, half whole, and he goes, oh, no, I killed that lady.
She's allergic to half and half.
Oh, man.
What have I done?
Anyway.
She had the perfect balance of non-fat and fatty milk.
Is there any other, like, coffee shop culture that we need to get into here on the Fast and the Furious? Because I've got more coffee stuff to talk about if you want to just
keep going with
coffee.
Oh, I got a lot in the tank. I saw a TikTok today that was, like, annoying thing, or things that your barista find annoying. And I was like, I do. I'm not the barista, but I am the POS guy, and I do find all this stuff annoying.
Uh-huh.
Like, when people tap their card too early in the process of checking out, and it's like, wait.
And you're the, like, the dishwasher, but everybody calls you a POS. Is that?
Yeah, it's so mean. I'm just the piece of shit guy.
Yeah. Well, that's Josiah. He's the POS
guy.
He's
the piece of shit. He's just a real POS.
Yeah. So I got, Caitlin got me a stovetop espresso maker for Christmas.
Ooh, fancy.
And so speaking of cappuccinos and all that, I've been mm-hmm. making lattes and cappuccinos more and more lately.
Nice.
That's really the end of that story, but I've got like espresso TikTok now.
Oh.
Which is annoying because like the people who have like the best stuff have like easily $5,000 worth of espresso
because
machines themselves are expensive, but then they have like the
grinders.
Sleek, sexy, carbon black, magnetized like fork tool to like mm-hmm. break up the, you know, like they've got all mm-hmm. the shit. Anyway, The Fast and the Furious.
You're right. Famous coffee movie.
So, okay, the cold open is exciting. It's a truck heist where essentially there's people with helmets and fast cars are stealing what we find out to be like DVD players and TVs with big fat backs.
So funny.
Yeah, it's really
good. DVD players. It's so dated.
You know a way to get out of that, of dating your movie, is like have them stealing like
money,
cash, and gold bars.
Yes,
yeah,
like, I was gonna say have them take on an armored car,
right,
and make it fucking cash.
To your point, it is like kind of dirty and small, like this is like small time rabble rousers
mm-hmm.
who are trying to turn a quick buck selling TVs.
Yeah,
so like it is, it makes sense with the story, but it is just funny looking at it in 2024.
Right. Because, like, DVD players stopped being a going concern, like, I don't know, 10 years later.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, no, they're stealing. Also, watching this movie made me be like, I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I think, I already know this about myself because I am very, you know, on the left politically. And I'm, like, pretty radical when it comes to, like, you know, no police and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, I think stealing shouldn't be a crime.
No, I know. I was like, honestly, I was thinking that too, to be honest, because like his job is to like get in on a stealing ring.
Yes.
He's going undercover to like protect fucking Sony DVD players.
DVD players.
Like, I was like, people are getting shot. There's like, go undercover to break up the street racing gangs.
Yes, that's way more dangerous.
There's violence and gambling and all sorts of stuff.
And I was just like, stealing DVD players shouldn't be illegal. Specifically stealing DVD players.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be illegal. Because who does it hurt?
Yeah.
No one.
Like, these DVD... If the trucker... Because truckers have, like, terrible rights. Because
mm-hmm.
like they kind of have to like own their own business or rent their own business, which is even worse. So like if Trucker X doesn't get all those DVD players to where they need to go, a Best Buy or a Circuit City probably at the time, or a Radio Shack,
then that
comes out of their head, you know, like that sucks. But like slow down.
Yes.
Slam on the brakes, let them steal your shit.
Yes.
And then you're not going 100 miles an hour through the desert.
Charlie was like, why do these truck drivers care so much that they're shooting at people? And I was like, I honestly, that's kind of a plot hole for me because I don't know. Because if that were me.
Yeah.
That were me.
Yeah.
And people driving very fast cars were attacking my truck, I would be like, okay, you can have it.
Yeah, fine. Have it.
Have it. Have it. I'm not risking my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
For these DVD players.
Yeah.
I would not be bringing a shotgun
to
shoot people
that
are stealing DVD players. Ridiculous.
That said, all those sequences do feel very Star Wars.
Oh, sure.
Or like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, they're very like adventure-y.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a sense of adventure to this movie.
I wrote Dodger Stadium. At one point, they go to Dodger Stadium, and I clocked it because I've been using it as like a design inspiration for a thing that we're doing in Los Angeles, cool. like a museum project. And I was like, oh, that's got a cool kind of mid-century design. And then when I saw it, I immediately was like, oh, Dodger Stadium.
Nice.
I've already said this effectively, but this is verbatim what I wrote in my notes about, I don't know, a quarter of the way through them. Fucking men, man.
I know.
2001 men, especially.
So gross. There's a sense of misogyny to this movie where, like, Brian is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, all things considered. He's like, oh, where I come from, whoever cooks doesn't clean. You know, he's like doing the, he's like helping do the dishes.
Yeah,
you know? So he seems pretty cool. He seems like he's not like looking down at women as something lesser or like a prize to be won.
Right.
But then like the asshole guy who's like he has beef with.
Dude's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's really gross. Like he treats Mia like a prize to be won. And I can't remember what his character name is, but he sucks. Does he make it into the sequels? I don't know. Oh well, it doesn't matter. But and then they got random Seth Green smart guy who's like he's like a genius, but for cars.
It's not Seth Green, but that type. No, yeah.
It's that type. He's like a little mouse. He's mouse. He's a little mousy guy, you know? And he doesn't make it because he dies. You know who I love in this and who I love in general? And this is me revealing this for the first time on the podcast.
Michelle Rodriguez?
Michelle Rodriguez, yes.
She looks like a baby in this movie.
She is a baby in this. She was like 23.
Yeah.
She was so young and she's so little too.
Yes.
You can tell that like later on in her life, she was like, oh, I'm a woman now and I'm going to like eat food. But like in this movie, you see her and you're like, she was pretty young. So she might have still had like her teenage body, but like also maybe wasn't eating enough because it was Hollywood in 2001.
Yeah, it was like that sort of like
heroin chic.
Yes, right.
Everyone had to be skinny. That's what. Okay. This is kind of weird, but like there's so many like babes in this movie.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like there's hot babes and there's like, they're in the background and they're like
the one that says to Ja Rule, like,
yes,
you have like, me, you have this or whatever, but if you win, you have her too.
Yes. It's so weird. And like, is that real?
Like, sucks.
I was like, has any woman ever said that to someone who's about to win a street racing?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But like, there's this weird thing of like the like, okay.
By the way, in that race, the like VFX, like when it first goes and the camera goes like through Vin Diesel's engine, and then like the background looks like the Wachowski's speed racer almost.
Yes, and every time they hit the NOS, they go.
Yeah,
and like that's the visual effect, and like the camera kind of goes.
That like sort of like almost anime effect happens in the whole movie.
Yes. Yes. The NOS is so important in this movie.
Yes.
You gotta hit them. And when to hit the NOS is really important. Because if you hit it too soon, you're gonna lose the race.
These are things that we learn.
Yes, you gotta hit it at the exact right time or else you lose the race.
It's very Death Star Trench Run.
Oh, right. Let the force
guide you. Targeting computer.
Okay, so the babes, right? This is what I find very funny about this. This time period of babe.
Yes.
Is that like, they're all... The not to be too gross or weird or like put a male gaze on this movie,
but this movie may as well be called Male Gaze Car.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But what society now finds attractive about the female body has changed so much in 20 years.
Right.
That watching this now feels silly. Whenever they're like, look at these babes, and I'm like, where's the ass? You know?
I love how the beginning of your thought said not to be gross or male gazy.
Yeah, not to be gross or male gazy. But like I was just thinking that the whole time. I'm like, they're like zooming in on people's butts and I'm like, there's nothing even there.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to be excited about? It reminded me of in Tin Cup when they're like leering at Renee Russo, is that who's in Tin Cup? Like leering at her and she's just wearing a very like full coverage outfit without anything, and they're like, ooh la la, and I'm like, what are you leering at?
Yeah,
I feel that way about this movie. I'm like, everyone's like, ooh, these sexy babes, and I'm like, these are so it's just like so 2001 coded with how the babes are.
Yeah, right.
I saw a TikTok about this from a creator I enjoy who was like talking about that, where it was like, what we have, this is so stupid and weird, but like what we find attractive has changed the last 20 years.
Right.
Like Baby Got Back, that kind of like ass and what was like considered
and itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face
so different than now. Like you go watch those old videos and you're like, where's the ass? Where is the ass? That's gonna be the title of this episode, where's the ass.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna cut all that anyway.
I wrote down, man, this is a peak party. The dude's playing the Zach Wilde bullseye finish. Les Paul. There's coronas everywhere. There's women like, kissing.
Yes, I was gonna say there's women kissing.
Yeah.
There's other people kissing.
Yeah.
They got everyone kissing.
It's like the aesthetic of this, I don't know, decade like 98 to 2004 maybe.
Yeah.
Was just like so fucking gross.
It's really gross. That's why I said like everyone looks grimy. Everything is just like nasty.
Yeah.
Like it's all kind of like we talked about on the
Patreon. Oh, and Snapple. Like, he's having a Snapple at that party as well.
And oh, and it's, he's like, you can have whatever beer you want as long as it's Corona.
Yeah. Which is, do you know that? Like, when did we talk? Oh, we talked about this on the Dark Side of the Moon episode because there is a song called Any Color You Like.
Right.
Which they took from, I don't know that they knew it was a Henry Ford quote, which it may not have even only been a Henry Ford quote either, but it was like, you can get the Model A or the Model T, whatever it was. You can get the Model T in any color you like as long as it's black.
As long as it's black, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. And it's like, well, okay, this also, this kind of brings us up too, because we talked about in the Patreon Ugly Hot, which is like the, what's his face? Jeremy, I can't remember his name
now.
Yeah,
Jeremy Allen
White. The bear guy and then Barry Keoghan, I never say his last name. There's like also like nasty hot, which is like everyone in this is like nasty hot.
Yes,
like they're all sweaty and like hot, you
they
know?
Were like paving the road for the like brief blaze of Megan Fox.
Yeah, true.
Which like is also like we as a culture just like did so bad by her.
We did really bad by her. She's she's doing okay. She's having a resurgence in a way.
Yes, but we did like, really that is how I would describe like that era. Like,
yeah, we both were like, this is what it was, and it we were like, this is what we want. We want like a hot Michael Bay thinks she's hot and it's gonna let the camera fuck her all the way up her body.
Yeah,
that's what we want. But then also, you're a slut.
Like
if you're
sweaty
that.
And dirty and can build a car.
Yeah, and we love that, but also we hate you.
Yeah,
now,
you
and we're gonna
go
throw
to
you to
jail.
The wolves. You're a slut, and you're gonna go to slut jail now.
I'm not gonna say that like society's good now, but boy,
no,
like
sure.
It has not been long since like the worst type of shit was going on.
Yeah, true, very true. All that to say, I love Michelle Rodriguez in anything.
Yeah,
and
she's good.
I have a big crush on her. I think she's so pretty and hot, and I think she's good in these movies, or at least in this first one, because that's all I've seen.
Yeah.
And she kind of like, I don't know, she's got like the tough female member of the crew, but I don't think she's reduced to too much of an object in this.
No, she's got like a little bit of something.
She's got agency. She's got a character
going
on.
Nobody has much of anything going on except for Vin Diesel and Paul Walker.
Yeah, they've
who,
got
by
like
the way,
this...
when you said, you know who I really loved in this movie, half of me thought you might have said Vin Diesel, because I found him to be compelling as hell.
Oh, he's so good in this.
I think there's this kind of joke that he's like just a dumb idiot and like not a, you know, I think he was like excellent.
He's great in this. I like Vin Diesel in general.
Yeah.
I think he's, I mean, like his whole life is this franchise now. So it's not like he's doing other movies.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what he does once he decides to stop making Fast and Furious movies.
And both of his names are cars.
Yeah. Vin and Diesel.
Yeah.
Also, he's a D&D guy. Did you know this?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like a huge D&D nerd.
Oh, funny.
Oh, hello, Red. He's got Red Wanted to Come podcast too.
Oh, hi, Red.
You don't think so? You didn't really watch it, babe.
The only reason she exists is to love
Michelle Rodriguez?
Yes.
No, she also is. She's part of the crew.
Because she loves him.
That's true. Maybe she'll get more agency as the franchise goes on. Charlie is excited to watch all... I say excited in quotes, I think. To watch all of these with me as the year goes on.
Saying about the truckers.
Yeah. Why do they care so much? I already said that, babe.
Why do they care so much? But is that really... They're the villain, right? It's not the cops. It's not the Fast and Furiousers. It's the truckers. They're like... These assholes deserve.
Yes, the like truckers who are just like heavily strapped.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That's Charlie's. By the way, one of the cop guys says a quote that I want to use for the rest of my life, which is, if you want time, buy the magazine.
Yes. That's so sassy.
That's like on the level of ordering 4 decaf cappuccinos. That's just like so annoying.
Buy the magazine.
I wrote this, which this is kind of in the realm of like talking about stealing shouldn't be illegal or whatever. This is almost the opposite take. How are like 4-liter tanks of NOS and all these other like high performance auto parts legal to sell at a above board business. I don't really understand that.
I don't know.
Like,
they're like walking into these body shops and they're like, I need all this NOS and all this crazy stuff. And it's like, the only reason to have this is to do illegal street racing.
Yes. Like,
what is the point?
Like, he mentioned the stock car circuit at some point, and I know that racing isn't just like IndyCar and NASCAR and Formula One. I know there's like other types. So like, maybe there are like sort of, you know, legit reasons to buy that kind of stuff. But like, it feels weird to me that like you can just drive your car to a store, park in the front, and walk out with a tank of nitrous oxide. How?
It kind of feels like this is like not exactly the same, but like before weed was legal.
Yeah.
When there were like the shops.
Like pipe shops.
Yes. Where you go and be like, all right.
I had the same thought.
Where it's like, I'm going to go here and buy a pipe. Well, what are you going to use that pipe for?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's that same kind of feeling. Tobacco? It's that same kind of feeling of like, we're selling something that is only used to do something illegal, right. But it's not technically illegal to buy the thing itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very funny and very weird. NOS is so important. We got to talk more about the NOS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then whenever the little what's his face? The little Seth Green guy loses the race.
And he just goes away.
He just leaves for a while.
Yeah, NOS is like coaxium.
Yes. Definitely.
It's like going into hyperspace.
Yes.
Like you can go fast, and then you can go like light speed.
You even have the little effect of like blowing you back a little bit, which is very going into hyperspeed or hyperspace.
I wrote this. The whole like sort of heist thing that the final set pieces hinge on.
Uh-huh.
Is being operated by three Honda Civics.
Yes.
And if you're a listener to the show, especially recently, you have known that we have thrown around the idea of covering the Honda Civic as a topic.
Yes.
Do we just do a quick mini one?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could.
Or
does it deserve an entire... Yeah, ubiquitous, yes.
But they can be souped up or just be regular. Like, the Millennium Falcon looks like a hunk of junk, but she's got it where it counts.
You got, let's see, ubiquitous, reliable to an extent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Consistent.
It's one of the cars that, like, even car salespeople will say, the only car I would ever say you should buy new is a Honda Civic.
Right.
Like, you can drive it for 25 years.
Right, it'll never break
down.
And
Star Wars is always gonna be around.
Right, and it has not broken down. Well, I mean, at least once it's broken down.
Oh, yeah, Star Wars breaks down. My Honda Civic I drove for years broke down, but,
okay.
You keep it going.
Keep it going. Put a little juice back in there.
Yeah.
Put a little NOS.
You re-divert power to the rear deflectors.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
Or in my case, the front deflectors. My bumper done fell off.
You know what's interesting is that, like, this whole movie is, like, all these guys, this is breaking from the Honda Civic. Sorry, I just had a thought. Like, all these guys do now is these movies.
Yeah,
know, like Mia, Jordana Brewster. Uh-huh. This is all she does.
Yeah, and she was on that episode of The Other Two, and that was like something they talked about.
Right. It's like her career is this.
Yeah.
And same with Vin Diesel, same with Paul Walker, like all these guys, these movies got so popular that this became their whole like career,
Right.
And I think that's real. I mean, like, that's nice work if you can get it.
Totally.
Like, you just get like, you get like a family of,
it's like being the big TV show, you know, like being Tony Soprano or whatever. Like,
yes, totally.
Or being Daenerys.
Mm-hmm. That's just your whole life. It becomes like, like an easy, not easy, but like, you know, that's a consistent paycheck that's coming in.
Right.
You're doing great.
Okay, that was How Star Wars Is at Honda Civic.
Right, sorry. I got distracted. Should we go to the break? We need to go to the break.
Yeah, I think we probably should.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Do you smell that? It's Bullshit Alert, the podcast where we lie, cheat, steal, and sometimes, yes, sometimes, it's the truth. Think you can sniff it out? Join Stephen Carter, Danny Marshall, and Lily Moss each week where we invite new guests, new stories, and of course, new bullshit. Find Bullshit Alert on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
And we're fast!
And we're fast!
Or sorry, should I say, and we're fast! Okay, I do have a game for us this week. Welcome back to the show. This is How Star Wars Is It. We're talking about the Fast and the Furious.
Talking about the Fast and the Furious.
But before the game, I thought we would do this. We've always, like, kind of meant to do this, or maybe we did do it with Star Wars. I can't remember if we did with Mission Impossible. Keep a running list throughout our year of our favorite movies. Like, rank these movies by our own kind of preference, and then also rank them hisui-wise, which we'll do as we give them scores.
Love it.
So I'll get started. Of the one movie, my favorite is number one, The Fast and the Furious.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, yours I think I'm on the same. And the most Star Wars, without ascribing any scores just yet, the most Star Wars of the franchise, given only one entry, is number one, The Fast and the Furious.
Right.
Cool. We got that out of the way.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and put that down.
I've got it in like a Google Doc here. It's my game one. So
Good.
I'll just keep it. But and then what was the other thing I wanted to say? Do you know the whole thing about the name, the title?
No.
So there was a movie from the 50s called The Fast and the Furious. And I don't know. I think it has to do with, I think they're similar in the way that like any movie that is like 50 years after its namesake could possibly be similar, you know?
Right, sure.
But Roger Corman, who did that movie, has held and maintained the sequel rights as having numerical, so like The Fast and the Furious 2, The Fast and the Furious 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's fucking 10 of these movies and none of their titles make any sense.
Really?
That's why it's Too Fast, Too Furious, and Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift, you know, like Fast 5, so as opposed to The Fast and the Furious 5.
Oh, they can't just call it.
Yeah.
Fast and the Furious 3.
Isn't
Fast
that
and
so
4.
Great?
That's really funny.
Like,
actually,
we talk about on this show a lot, like, everything should just be in the public domain.
Yes.
But if it's not, do something crazy like this.
Yeah. I love it. We got Steamboat Willie in the public domain now.
Yeah.
I saw this,
like,
great.
If we also don't have regular Mickey Mouse in the public domain, then just call him, like, Nicky Mouch.
Yeah, Nicky Mouch. Also, I saw this great, like, little comic on Instagram that was like the artist drawing themselves into their own comic, where like fans are like, Steamboat Willie's in the public domain, draw him doing something crazy.
Yeah.
And they're like, I could have already done that. That's just parody.
Right.
But like, I could have already done that. And they're like, well, do something that's not parody. So just like use the actual work itself.
Yeah.
And without commenting on it,
like just upload that animation to my own YouTube.
That's what the comic was. The last panel was the artist sitting down drawing, like, watching Steamboat Willie on TV with the actual thing being animated. And I was like, that's funny and also so true, because people, like, that's what people don't understand about public domain and also like, you know, rights about anything, is because like you can do parody of anything,
right,
as long as you're transforming it or commenting on it or whatever. So, like, you could already make Steamboat Willie say crazy stuff. You just have to make sure it's parody law that covers you.
Like, have you never seen, like, a comedy sketch?
Right. We don't have to get everything cleared for rights usage when you're making a, like, whenever fucking Game of Thrones came out, it's not like every single sketch group in the entire world was like, we gotta call HBO real fast, make sure they let us do a Daenerys or whatever sketch.
Right. Anyway, we've got a really funny sketch idea where it's a bunch of people from the same family, but they're on a dating game show.
Yeah. Okay, great. That sounds...
Okay, the game this week is the classic IMDb game.
Yay!
Where I will give you the actors from this film, and then you have to name what their four most known for projects on IMDb are. For listeners, if this is your first time listening to the show or hearing this game before, when you go to IMDb on any given actor's page, there's four projects that says known for. It could be movies or TV. And while there is possibly a rhyme or reason as to which four are there, it's opaque as to why.
Yes.
Did you watch through the credits, by the way?
No, I just saw on Wikipedia there's an after credits sequence where he's like driving.
Oh, I didn't even see that. But the just like the cards as they come up, you know, the actors.
Mm, no,
the first one is a split card of Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
Okay.
So there's not technically a first build. They share the first build spot.
Share the billing. That's interesting. Were either of them even like famous at this point?
I don't know.
What did Paul Walker do before?
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out, won't we?
So the first one on this list, though, is Vin Diesel. What are the four projects Vin Diesel is most known for?
Okay, cool. Fast and the Furious. Wait, I have to say which one, don't I?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, that's going to be hard. I'm going to go with number one, then. The
it
Fast
is.
And the Furious. Yay! Now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are there any other FF movies on there?
There is.
Okay. Fast Five?
No.
Dang it. Wait, is Chronicles of Riddick on there?
No.
Ah! Dang. That's like his, like, passion project, I think.
You know what's funny, too? It'll show, like, you know, many of these people do multiple things in the film world. And mm-hmm. so it'll show the four things. And a lot of times, like I think of like George Clooney, I feel like The Ides of March was one of them because he also mm-hmm. directed it.
Right.
So like it'll say like what their credit is that's being mm-hmm. cited here as most known for. So The Fast and the Furious, the only one you've guessed, the credit is Dominic Toretto.
Right.
I will say only one other one in the top four is like a character name.
Right. Okay.
Now, he is an actor in all four, but the credit for whatever reason shows his other like job role.
Okay.
The job role is producer.
The and it's job role, the guy who's in this movie who races the car.
Yeah, job role.
Job role. Is Guardians of the Galaxy on there?
Yes.
Okay.
Credited as Groot parentheses voice.
Right. There we go.
As opposed to Groot parentheses real tree person.
Body of Groot.
Yeah.
Who's the actual body of Groot? Oh, I think it's Vin Diesel is. Isn't
it's what's his face's
no, it's
brother.
No, that's who
or
does
no,
Rocket
that was
Raccoon.
Rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the body of Groot? And I'm gonna get some bad results for this probably.
Why can't I pull Gunn? James Gunn, and is his brother's name
Sean Gunn?
Sean, that's right.
Oh, Sean Gunn has played some of the Groot as well. Interesting.
You have two more for Vin Diesel.
Did you know that Sean Gunn is in the Gilmore Girls?
Oh.
As like a pretty like he's a recurring character that's in it a lot.
Is he Lorelai?
He's Lorelai. Yeah. He's one of the girls. Charlie just finished watching all of Gilmore Girls, including the sequel like series that came on Netflix. Uh-huh. And so like I'm having a lot of like there's a lot of their lore has seeped into our relationship right now.
Does Charlie talk faster now?
She talks faster, she's quippy.
Uh-huh.
She just makes she's very sarcastic.
Yeah.
Charlie, are you more sarcastic now that you've watched Gilmore Girls? Do you think?
No.
Follow up.
Funny answer. That was Gilmore Girlsy, but I couldn't.
Follow up. Do you and three of your friends share a pair of pants and it travels?
Oh, he asked me if you and three of your friends share a pair of pants that travels between you all.
Yes.
Oh,
that did happen.
That's happened to every woman,
yeah,
right?
One of the friends, like, she made a bad decision at camp, but it's okay because
uh-huh.
he was really a predator. And
oh, no.
He is not.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I forgot.
Blake Lively's character is so deep. It's crazy.
And one of your friends went on to be in Barbie, right?
Yes.
Yes. Good.
And she also said, si se puede in Barbie, which was funny because that's what she said in Gotta Kick It Up. Si se puede, si se puede. And I think it was like a low-key
reference. It was a reference.
Them saying like, stop saying this as a quote from this movie because this is a political statement.
I love it.
What the hell is she talking about?
I
asked if she and her friends have pants.
Okay.
The other two Vin Diesel movies.
Yeah, let's see. Not Clark of Rick. what else has he done? I don't know. He's so Fast and the Furious. Are there any other FF movies that I haven't seen?
Yeah.
Fast, is it 9?
No.
8?
No.
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Furious 7. And then the last one?
Another Furious one?
No.
Okay, then I don't know. Give it to me.
It is triple X, where the first and the third are both lowercase and the middle one is uppercase.
Yes. I have no idea what that movie is, but I remember seeing like, a poster for it. Yeah.
And both of those latter two that you just got to, he's in the top four, or in his most known for, he's credited as producer.
Right. Oh, you know, okay. This is why he was, so he was in Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So that's probably why he was like top billed in Fast and Furious.
All right, the next one is Paul Walker.
The Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
Number one. Too Fast, Too Furious.
No.
Fast Four, or whatever it's called. Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious. That is also on the list.
Okay. So two more?
Uh-huh.
Any FFs on there?
Yeah.
Fast Five?
No.
Six?
No.
Seven?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, when did he
so
die?
So for whatever so reason, Furious 7's got some shine on it.
Yeah, I think it's one of the really good ones.
And then the fourth one I've never heard of.
I probably wouldn't know it then either. So what is it?
It is called Running Scared.
Okay.
All right, next up on your list, you'll do well, maybe, is Michelle Rodriguez.
Just because I love her doesn't mean I know her filmography. The Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
Avatar.
No.
Avatar's not on there? One of the biggest movies of all time? That's so strange. Is Machete on there?
It is not.
She's in one of the Machetes, I think. I can't remember which one. Lost?
No, but that came to my mind, too.
You remember she was on Lost?
Yeah.
That was fun. More Fast and Furiouses?
Uh-huh.
Fast 7?
Yeah, Furious 7.
Furious 7, sorry. What about any more? Any more FFs in there?
One more.
Oh, my God. Fast 5?
No.
Fast and Furious?
No.
Fast 8?
No.
9?
No.
10?
Uh-uh.
What have I not said? 6?
Yeah. Yeah, 6.
That's funny.
1, 6, and 7. And then the fourth one is not a fast.
Would I know it? Is it something I might know?
No, I don't think this movie really exists.
Okay, what is it?
Battle Los Angeles.
Oh! I saw that movie! In theaters, and it made me cry.
Oh.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Maybe that'll have to be our December Fast and Furious entry.
Yes, that's so... I haven't thought about that movie in forever. It's like an alien invasion movie.
Oh.
But like it follows like the Marines who are having to like fight back
right.
as like in Los Angeles as they're getting invaded or whatever. That's kind of crazy.
Next up is Jordana Brewster.
Oh, just all Fast and Furious.
You'd be surprised.
Really? Okay. The Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
Fast 7.
Furious 7. Yeah.
Furious 7, sorry. And then Fast 6.
No more Fast.
Oh, no more. Really? She's two other in there? Okay. I have no idea what else she's
all
ever
right.
been in.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre : The Beginning.
Oh, interesting.
And then this is a movie I haven't seen, but I need to because I know it kind of came in the wake of the Scream sensation. The Faculty.
Okay, The Faculty.
That was a classic, like, we want to capture Scream. We're going to do a teen horror kind of thing.
Oh, Robert Rodriguez, huh?
Uh-huh.
That sounds fun. I love that guy.
Speaking of, we watched Scream 4 this weekend because Caitlin and I have slowly been going through the Scream movies. And Scream 4 rules.
Yeah, it's good. People like to say it's not good, but it is good.
No, I think it's good. And they make a Robert Rodriguez joke in that the Stab movies are directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love that. That's so fun.
Okay, and just for fun, since we've talked about him a lot, Ted Levine or Levine, however it's pronounced.
Science of the Lambs?
Yes.
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West is on there.
Really? Yes. The Fast and the Furious?
No.
Monk?
No, that's surprising to me.
That is surprising to me.
I have seen both of these other movies. I like both of these other movies, but it's been a while since I've seen either, and I could not have told you that he is in either.
Right. He's kind
of
like...
I'm not to say
like...
he's not integral to them. I just don't remember.
He sort of like disappears into his roles. Like he's kind of like one of those character actors that just kind of like is so.
I remember
good
seeing him in
does.
This movie and being like, "Oh, I feel like I recognize that guy, but I didn't think much more of it because I was like, eh, it was 2001. Maybe I don't know who it is. And then when the credits rolled, it's literally my last note on my phone. I was like, fucking Ted Levine again?
Yeah, again? I don't know what else he's been in. I know he was like pretty, he's like a very prolific character actor kind of guy. So I don't know. Give me the other two.
One is from 1995. It is a classic crime film.
It was not Silence of the Lambs.
Nope. That was 91.
91, that's right. Another he's always in these crime movies. Yeah. He's always playing a cop.
With a famous director, by the way, or like a notable director.
Oh.
And then The other one is from 2010. It's arguably also a crime film, but it's more like a psychological thriller with an even, probably arguably more famous director. Probably one of the most famous directors.
Christopher Nolan.
No.
Bigger. Martin Scorsese.
Scorsese. 2010 Ooh. Scorsese film.
What did he direct in 2010? I can't remember.
With Leo?
Shutter Island.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he plays Warden.
That's a weird
Warden.
Pull. That's crazy. Oh, I didn't know he was in that.
And
I saw that and I remember...
The 1995 one is Michael Mann. Does that help?
No, I can't pull 90.
But speaking of Christopher Nolan, it's what The Dark Knight is trying to be.
Oh, is it Heat?
Yeah.
Ah, he's in Heat? That's crazy.
Yeah.
This guy's in everything.
Yeah, I know.
That's wild. What a prolific career.
Anyway, that was that game.
I love it. I remember seeing Shutter Island, I think when it came out, like when I was in college, and not liking it because I was too freaked out by it.
Oh, interesting.
Like it was, I think I could watch it now and be like nothing scares me now. So like, yeah. I know scary movies or like sometimes psychological thrillers can kind of make me be like, oh, that made me feel weird. But like, I think I could watch it now and be okay.
I would rewatch that.
But I was so like affected by that one. I remember being like, that was so weird.
It's just crazy that it came out either the same year or like right before or after Inception, where Leo is also playing a character kind of slowly losing his mind about the death of his wife. Like he's playing like the same character twice in like the same year.
Over the span of a couple years, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Inception.
So, okay, Star Wars, The Fast and the Furious. I have a couple of takes. One, the thing about everybody knows how to like build a car from the ground up and they're always covered in grease. That feels like not the totality of Star Wars, but a lot of Star Wars.
Right, because everyone knows how to make a ship. Everyone knows how to run, how to fly a ship.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I think is almost opposite of Star Wars to this movie's credit. Specifically, a thing you did not see, at least I don't think you did, The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, no, I didn't watch that.
This movie feels Tatooine underbelly.
Yeah.
Stealing shit and racing, you know, illegal races in the desert. Like, that could not be more like Tatooine. Totally. But the Brian O'Connor, Paul Walker character is basically the exact opposite of Boba Fett in The Book of Boba Fett.
Really?
In Boba Fett, he's like the grizzled old, like, gunslinger, bounty hunter, bad guy.
Right.
And over the course of that show, he becomes like a cop and a mayor.
What?
Like he wants to like protect his town and his people. He sort of takes over Jabba's palace, but he's not like a grimy criminal per se. He's not like above board, but he's doing this kind of like, I gotta protect my family thing that see
very
in Fast and Furious.
Very Dom Toretto.
But he's going like the opposite direction that Paul Walker goes in this movie. Paul Walker goes from like Captain America, clean cut cop, goes undercover, and then realizes family, protect my family. And the way to do that is to like break the law.
Yes.
Like, if Book of Boba Fett just sort of followed this arc, like, I don't know, like, Book of Boba Fett makes Boba Fett become truly, like, a politician.
That's so stupid. Like, I didn't know that happened.
It's so dumb. And this movie is, like, cool. This movie is, like, what Tatooine was before it became the most important planet in the galaxy.
Right.
And, like, every movie and TV show takes place there.
Right.
It's what, like, The Mandalorian could be if not for the, like, fucking pussy shit. Same as Boba Fett. Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that Star Wars has to have, like, drive-by shootings.
No, for
but
sure.
Like Star Wars became cotton candy.
Yeah.
And this.
Yeah, they're like, I think that there is something to be said for like if you did a Star Wars by way of Fast and the Furious, that yeah. would be pretty. That would be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
Like the coolest part of or like one of them. I mean, people love it or hate it, but the pod racing in Episode One is yes. one of the funnest
it's
concepts
awesome.
In the movie.
Yeah,
because the idea that there
and they
is
have
this
like
big,
NOS in that.
Yeah, there's like these big racing and there's this huge thing. Like there's a whole movie that could be told literally about the lives of those pod
yes.
racers.
Ben Quadraneros, a Star Wars story, rather. A solo
and I think
story.
That, like, I think that, like, you get, because, like,
the Sebulba Chronicles.
The Sebulba Chronicles. So, Solo, a Star Wars story, kind of wanted to be a heist movie, kind yeah. of wanted to be a crime movie, kind of wanted to be a lot of things,
yeah.
and ended up being not
kinda
a lot
nothing.
Of
yeah.
kind of like just a mixture of everything, which led it to not be that much of anything.
Right.
And so I think that, like, this goes back to just franchise movies in general, and like especially so like Star Wars used to be a genre, right? It used to be like it used to be this is science fiction fantasy movie, but it is Star Wars. Now it's like this is a Star Wars movie.
Yes, right.
So it's not necessarily science fiction fantasy, it's just this is a Star Wars movie. And they're not, and like the prequels, like we talk a lot about how like the prequels were kind of trying to do these different kinds of big storytelling, like the sort of Game of Thrones-y,
yeah, right.
like big political stuff. And then you have like the detective thing in Episode Two.
Right. And the romance.
And the romance and all this stuff. So
it's
they were
doing like the biggest swings of a epic arc that a story could be. It's like, we'll do all the biggest epic arcs. We'll do
yeah,
the
exactly.
downfall of an entire government. We'll do
yeah.
a ill-fated star-crossed lovers romance.
Yes,
we'll do,
it's very much... It's like, let's do Dune, and because like it was already inspired by Dune in the original trilogy, but it's much more like, you know, Kurosawa and Western and all
right.
that stuff. And we've talked a lot about this, about how George Lucas was creating a mishmash of all his interests, right? Like it's a collage. It's
mm-hmm.
And the prequels are also a collage. But then when you get to the sequel trilogy, it's just we're gonna make a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like I saw this article recently that I enjoyed. I think it was on Polygon where it was like, people aren't tired of superhero movies. They're tired of bad superhero movies.
Yeah. Or and same think, superhero movies.
Right. And I think that the best superhero movies that we've kind of got away from were ones that were like, oh, it's a, like, you know, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which is like a spy thriller, but
mm-hmm.
it's a superhero movie. Or like, stuff like that, where you're doing a superhero movie, but it's also something else.
Right.
Where it's got a take, it's got a point of view.
Yeah.
It's not just a superhero movie. But we've made so many superhero movies that now that is its own thing, where it's like, oh, it's just a superhero movie.
Right.
Because before before superhero movies were a thing, you would have to sell it in a different way.
Yeah.
When you were pitching it, you couldn't just say, well, it's a superhero movie. You'd have to say like, okay, it's Robert Downey Jr.'s in it.
Right.
And it's sort of like a like response to the Iraq War in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like,
but it's quippy.
It's quippy.
Like, don't
it's
worry,
improv.
It's not for nerds. It's cool.
It's like funny and it's cool. It's
you know,
sleek.
Swingers.
Yeah, you remember that guy?
Yeah,
yeah. And so you have to pitch it a different way. But nowadays, it's become its own thing.
Right.
And I think it's the same with Star Wars. And I'm interested to see if this goes that way with Fast and
yes.
the Furious. Right.
You know, it's doing that in Mission Impossible a little bit. So I think Fallout, a lot of people is like, that is the pinnacle. It was like the most Mission Impossible could ever be. And this new one that you still haven't seen
yeah.
does have a little bit of like, oh, it's become, it's like a feedback, like.
Yeah, snake eating its own tail thing, yeah.
It's good, it's fun. I laughed at how fun the action was, but like. Do you know the term flanderize or flanderization?
Yes, like in The Simpsons, whatever.
Yes.
Like it's like when like a character becoming a real caricature of themselves,
yes.
right?
Like yeah. I think SpongeBob's a great example. Ned
yeah.
Flanders is the title example, where like he started out as like a nosy neighbor next door who like is everything Homer wasn't. He's like a mm-hmm. model citizen, and that serves as a good foil for like the shithead that Homer is, and then he just sort of becomes like a guy who goes high diddly odly lodly dodly and
right,
like
right, right.
loves the Lord, and that's
yes,
all
yes. Yeah, yeah,
and like SpongeBob's that way too. SpongeBob now is like an annoying kid,
Right.
Like a fucking annoying baby.
Yeah. It's also like everyone in Seinfeld. Like by the end of the series, like that's one I've heard of used a lot. I haven't watched Seinfeld.
Right.
But I've heard like Kramer by the end is just like, blah, 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 blah. You're like, whoa, what happened to you?
And
you
like used to that, be like a person. That's just bound to happen when something gets success. Like you start finding what the notes are that people want to hear you play and you keep playing them. But
we should probably aim towards wrapping up.
We should. So. One thing I wrote, oh, by the way, that thing they do in the desert is called race wars. We didn't even talk about that.
It's so weird. And like, that's like different thing.
But that's, even that, I wrote, this place seems super fun. There's like car races all day and you can just go and watch.
It's like, yeah, it's like Burning Man, like, but for car races.
Barrel fires.
Yes, it's like no rules.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. The truck stunt rules. The ending is kind of crazy. The ending of the movie where they like jump the train tracks, but then Dom like hits that truck and then Paul Walker's like, here, take my car. Like,
yes. It sort of ends abruptly.
It does end abruptly, and it ends with like the guy saying like, you get to get away, crime guy.
Yeah, the base of the cop is going like, I like you enough to let you leave.
Yeah.
It's sort of weird.
I wonder if George Lucas has seen and likes these movies, because he was like a car guy.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid. That's true. I bet he does. I bet he likes these movies. I bet he likes
them. Yeah, he probably appreciates the craft. Who was... Oh, let me see something here.
Oh, and then I also wrote, this movie's really fun. This is going to be a really fun year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool to go... I think we're going to have more fun going through these as opposed to...
Like Batman got to be a slog sort of fast.
Yeah, true. Very true. So we got... Okay, here's what I wanted to look at. Directors for each of these. So they change hands every time for the first three movies, which is interesting. But then when they get good, here's what's interesting, right? Justin Lin directed Tokyo...
He did like
Tokyo,
four in a row.
He directed Tokyo Drift, which is like famously not good.
Mm-hmm.
But then he directs like the next three that are really good, that everyone loves. Well, except for Fast and Furious. The fourth one is not apparently not that good. But then Fast 5 he directs, 6 he directs, 7... changes hands, but like this
and
franchise...
7 is James Wan, the guy who created Saw and does all those like Conjuring.
Yeah, kind of crazy. It's also like kind of interesting because like this, like the only consistency here aside from a lot of Justin Lin is like the characters and the actors, which I think is interesting because like that's sort of, I don't know, it's not very Star Wars, right? Because like you've got George Lucas at the helm for most of Star Wars.
Yeah, but now it is.
That's true. Now it is.
Because it's the modern Hollywood model. Yeah. Yeah. Where anyway, the characters, the lunchbox is the star.
Yes, definitely. That was just a side thought. But anyway, we should give this a rating. So let's see. Any other notes, though?
No, I'm excited. We will do Hobbs and Shaw because there's 10 Fast movies and then that's 11. So that'll get us through November if we do one a month.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do them in release order.
Yes, which is not watch order or is not chronological order, apparently.
Oh, really?
Apparently Tokyo Drift takes place like in the future or something.
What?
Hold on. I got to figure it out. Because, like, there's a watch order on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's like, watch it in this order, and then go to Tokyo Drift. Let's see.
I don't like that idea.
I know, it's weird.
If you go to a theater and see a movie, and then another one comes out after, then you go to that one. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta figure this out. It came out in 2006, is when the movie came out, but I don't know why it's set later in the chronological order. I don't know. I don't know. We'll figure it out whenever we watch that movie.
Yes.
Which we'll do in 3 months. Okay. Let's give it a rating.
Yeah, we should. I think this movie is like fairly Star Wars.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially with all the desert, grimy, seedy underbelliness.
Mm-hmm. Very Tatooine-y.
That is only about half of Star Wars.
Right.
But it is a movie and it is a giant franchise. And
right.
There's like a found family thing, which is such a major theme in Star Wars. So I feel like this is gonna be higher than what most of our things get. Now, most of our topics are shit like lunch, but I think my unit of measure will be big old tanks of NOS.
Yeah, NOS, baby. Mine's going to be Coronas.
Coronas.
I think I'm going to give it like a 4?
Yeah, I was going to say 5.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So as an average, it gets a 4.5 for the sake of our record for the year.
Our record keeping. Okay, good.
Yeah, that feels good.
That feels good. All right, well, do you want to
the internet? And 5 tanks of NOS.
5 tanks of NOS. And that's all you need for a great weekend.
Yeah.
Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at How Star Wars is on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com because that's what this is. And Mike, I got to tell you, we got maybe the most interesting spam email that I've seen in a long time. Should I read the whole thing?
Probably.
The subject line is simple and average chic G.
G?
You know, I'm going to share my screen with you so you can read it with me. Or so you can read it in real time as I'm reading it. Because it's just so strange. All right, ready? It's from Cute Cupcake 3, which they have a real email address that looks real anyway, so I'm not sure where it goes to. And it starts like this. Hi, unknown stranger. I observed your profile information, and I couldn't hold back from starting contact. Let me present myself. I'm an eager Ukraine-born woman, and I always possess this bold nature surging within me. So, like, at the start, you're like, is this going to get sexual? Is this person trying to, like, proposition me? But then it takes a turn. See, at one instance or another, I found myself soaked waist deep in a muddy brawl performance clad in my spotless clothing. So you're like, okay, is this sexual? Muddy brawl performance, spotless clothing? What's happening? No doubt an incredible showing, I can guarantee. Nonetheless, life is comparable to a adventurous ride, isn't it? Venturing risks, embracing the unknown. That's indeed what adds thrill to our existence, don't you think? Consequently, this is why I am taking the jump and initiating contact initially to you. Who knows if the adventures we might embark on together, don't you think? Would you, in initiating conversation and exploring where the journey takes us? The possibilities are as endless as the horizon. And that's the end of it.
I think this is a green light. I think you go for it.
I think this is written by AI.
Uh-huh.
And
getting some mileage out of the verb initiate.
Yes, I think it's written by AI. I think it's another weird, because I got a really weird spam email a couple weeks ago that I posted on Instagram that was like, everyone was like, this has to be AI, right? Because it's like every sentence almost means something. It's like close to meaning something, but then it's like something, it's off. It's like, no, not even a, like they say they're an eager Ukraine born woman. So even if English is their second language, or third or whatever, this is not how anyone would structure
a
sentence.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's like definitely a way a computer would. But anyway, I just saw that the other day and I was checking the emails and I found it very funny and I knew we had to read it on the podcast.
Now, listeners, if you want to write us a weird spammy sounding email,
please
send it to us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com. The like less meaningful, the better. Like the more cryptic, the more fun we'll have.
Do your best AI trying to write an email impression.
Yes. Or if you are in Gen Z, just send us an email that says the word yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you want to support the show, help us each, just honestly, for the price of one iced decaf cappuccino.
That's just chimino, yep.
You can support our show on Patreon at patreon.com/howstarwarsisit. For just $5 a month, you get a weekly bonus episode and a whole back catalog. There's over 130 bonus episodes plus film commentaries of the Star Wars movies, of The Matrix, of Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. There's improv, there's RPGs, there's, I think, some video on there, and there's a Discord server. All of that is available to you at patreon.com/howstarwarsisit. Hey, it's a new year, you know, new you.
Yeah,
new thing you pay for.
New charge on your bank account.
Yeah.
Of only $5.
And
or 10 or 2 or 1.
live in or find yourself in the Chicago area, you can see Josiah and I doing improv.
Oh, yes.
As part of Anarchy, the improvised rock opera, with shows starting in February. If you follow Anarchy Music Improv on social media, you can find out more details.
And we know what shows we're in now, so...
We do, and the one that we're in together got canceled because of a comic. We're in more than one together, but...
I think we are, yeah. I'm in like six in a row, which I'm excited for. So anyway, let's wrap up.
We did a long one.
Sandwiches. I know that one ended up long because I couldn't tell what time it was because my recording stopped. Sandwiches to Star Wars. It's about time for me. Bye bye. So like we always say, we love you,
and may the fourth be with you.
Bye bye.
Bye.